Today we're going to continue in our series. Quickly, we're going to jump into it so we can get right into the word this morning. I want to make sure we have adequate time, and so I don't want to keep you longer than I need to, but I want to jump right into the word. So let's get right into it, talking about the vision. We're looking at the vision of our church and what is God calling us to be. We have determined through much prayer and just really determining who we are as a church that this is what's important to us. We believe that God has Destiny Church. The Destiny Church exists. Destiny Church exists to teach people to passionately love God, to genuinely love people, and to teach others to do the same. And we get this right out of Scripture, and we're using the Scripture in Mark chapter 12, verse 30. And it says to love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. When Jesus was asked, what's the greatest command that we can do? He said, this is it. Let me sum it up for you. This is what's important. And so today we are continuing to spend much time on this, because if this is the most important thing we can do, this is not something we can preach 1 or 2, 3 weeks and just jump right past it and then go into something else. If Jesus says this is the most important thing for us to grasp a hold of, it's worth us taking our time to dive in, to go a little deeper as we talk about becoming passionate lovers of God, learning to love God to our fullest. And so today we're going to continue, and I want to continue with this thought of loving God to the fullest today. We're going to talk about loving God with all of our strength, how to love God with all of our strength. We know today that our strength, when we talk about strength, we're talking about our doing, our feeling, our thinking, our being, our doing. It involves all those things. So loving God with our strength, it involves so much. You know, what I like about, why don't you back up to that verse one more time, Gary, if you would. What I like about this is it says heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the areas that God has called us to love him in. And how many know that God didn't say to love him with 25% of your heart, with 25% of your soul, and with 25% of your mind, and with maybe 30% of your strength? He didn't say that, did he? He didn't say, all right, 75% of your heart, but you can give 10% to your mind, and 20%. He didn't say that, did he? He said, love God with what? All. Because somebody, we have any math teachers in here? I think we do. Don't we have any math teachers that are in the building? We have any teachers in the building today. Can teachers please explain to me, what does the word all translate to percentage? 100, right? That's right, 100. So God has called us to give all. Here comes our math teacher right now. Our math teacher can tell us this, that all translates into what? 100%. 100%. So God has called us to give 100% of our heart, 100% of our soul, 100% of our mind, and with 100% of our strength. This is how he wants us to love him. And, you know, if you remove one ingredient, it's not going to be right. If I had 4 ingredients to bake a cake today, I'm not a cake baker, and please forgive me, but, you know, I know you need flour, sugar, what else you need? Salt and egg. Okay, so we have four ingredients. Yes, if you didn't know that, you need salt for your cake. Okay, so you're going to have 4 ingredients for your cake. If we take one of those ingredients out, what's going to happen? That cake's not going to be right, is it? You're going to be like, there's something missing in this cake. It may look right on the outside, but you get to taste it and then you realize there's just something that's missing. You can't skip the ingredients it takes to bake that cake. The same way here, if we pull one of these ingredients out, there's going to be something missing. It's not going to be right. We're not going to love God to the fullest that he's asked us to do it if we remove one ingredient. So our heart is to continue to say, God, we want to learn to love you in all 4 of these areas, 100%. This is why we say that our Christian walk, we never get there to the fullest. We never grow until we never need to not grow. We never reach a place of maturity that we don't stop growing, because if you're going to love God with all 4 of these areas, it's a lifelong commitment. It's a lifelong commitment of saying, God, I am walking in this lifelong commitment of learning to love you with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my mind, with all of my strength. This is going to take you and me the rest of our life as we're practicing this and getting these principles in our heart and to our mind, to our soul, and with our strength. It's going to take us a lifelong journey of applying this knowledge. And remember what I talked about a few weeks ago about the little knowledge. And when we do little knowledge, we get blessing. As we grow in knowledge, God expects us to give more. And so some of you have been here a long time, and your knowledge of God is growing, and you're learning what it takes to love God. That God doesn't just want me to love him with my mouth or just to come on a Sunday, But he wants me to learn to love him with all my strength. And he wants me to learn to love him with all of my mind and all of my soul and with all of my heart. And I'm getting all these different things that I'm learning. And the blessing comes when I've learned to begin to apply these things to my life. God says that person will walk in the blessing. As he puts, the blessing comes in the acting on the knowledge, not just having the knowledge. And so we're learning to apply the knowledge that God has given us. And so we're doing it in practical ways. How do we love God with all of our strength? That's a good question today. We're going to jump into that. We're going to talk about this. How do we love God with all of our strength? Let's get right into it. Number one, you have to have complete confidence of this, that God can do absolutely anything through my life. Loving God with all of your strength is this, that you know that God can do absolutely anything through my life. Loving God with all of our strength is this knowledge of this, that, you know what, anything's possible with God, that God can do anything with the strength in my life. Look what it says here in John 14, 12. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. Jesus said that we're going to do even greater things than he did. Now, if you're like me, when I first read that, that always just takes me back. I'm always like, you know, this can't be true. That's just too good to be true. Better than Jesus. How can we do things greater than Jesus? You know, and if you first read that, it kind of overwhelms you if you really think about it. That we're going to do greater things than Jesus did. And I believe through much study and translation, what he was really trying to send a message here that is that as the body of Christ, we're going to see even greater things than he's seen. That he was seeing people come to the Lord, and he was seeing salvations taking place and people converting over. But the worldwide church today, worldwide church is reaching around the globe and around the globe. Simultaneously, we're reaching with the gospel, that people are being added to the church on a daily basis. People are hearing the knowledge of Jesus Christ on a daily basis, that even a greater way that the gospel is being spread around the globe. And I believe this is what he was trying to say, that we're going to see even these greater things through us, that God's wanting to use us in a greater way. And we're going to see even more. He was just reaching people at different regions at different times. He was training up disciples and training up his 12. He said, listen, there's going to come a day when this gospel is going to spread around the world. And those who apply their heart and give their life to me, I'm going to use them to reach. And they're going to do greater things than even I'm seeing here today. They're going to reach even more people. I mean, today, can you imagine Jesus on the hillside with 3,000 men and maybe having 7,000 or 8,000 people there teaching? I mean, that was considered a huge crusade, 7,000, 8,000 people. But then we watch today through technology and the equipment we have, we can now reach 500,000 people at one time coming to crusades in Ethiopia and India, where people I know even have certain friends who are doing crusades where they're having 500,000 people show up at one time. They're having to take aerial shots in helicopters, and then they have the methodologists who can come through and can actually count the people by the square miles that are there. And they give us totals saying there's up to almost 400,000 and 500,000 people one time hearing the gospel in one setting. That was not even possible back then. That was not even imaginable back then, that they could have the kind of technology that would allow them to do that. And Jesus is saying even greater things you and I are going to see. We're seeing the gospel spread around. And God has always designed that God uses our strength. God has always designed that he would use you and I to spread the gospel. He would always use you and I to be his mouthpiece. He always wanted that in the very beginning. Greater things will he see in us to do his work. It's the great truth of the Bible that God uses ordinary people. I mean, that's the great truth that sets us free, is that God has always used ordinary people. Very seldom do we see God using any superstars. Most of the time it was someone who was the last person to be thought of that God chose to use. And God always chooses the people that are ordinary, because he's trying to communicate a message to you and I that he wants to use you and I. He's not looking to use the person who's just a superstar, but he wants to use the everyday people just like you and I. People who have faults, people who have warts, and people who don't talk always clear, and people who talk a little fast, and people who can't always do the right thing the way people, society thinks it's right. But you know what? God wants to use you and I in a great way. And learning to give God our strength and love him our strength is this first knowledge that I can do absolutely anything through my life, through God's help. So how do we know that? Because, number one, because God's resources are unlimited. Ephesians 3:16 says, out of his glorious, unlimited resources he will give you, the mighty inner strength of his Holy Spirit. Wow, isn't that an awesome thought right there? Unlimited. How many would love to have a card that was unlimited, man, that you could just charge it and never have to pay it back? You know what I'm talking about? I mean, wouldn't that be great if your bank account was unlimited? Well, we'd be like, yeah. I mean, this is what God's saying, to that out of his glorious, unlimited resources, he will give you the mighty inner strength. What's he saying? He's saying the power in you is unlimited if you allow God to operate that way. If you allow the Holy Spirit to come into your life, to fill you with power, to baptize you in God's Holy Spirit, if you allow the Spirit of God to come in and to be alive in your life, he says, man, it's unlimited, the power that you and I have. That God wants to give us, ordinary people, this unlimited power. Number two, because we find out his ability is immeasurable. His ability is immeasurable. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurable more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that has worked within us. This translates really to say this, that Paul was trying to over-exaggerate. You ever heard someone who's a kid? I had a lot of kids in my house, and so they're always talking. And when they really want to get the point across, they're like, you know, it's the super-duperest, goodest, bestest. They throw all these words together that really don't make a lot of sense, you know. But you understand what they're trying to say. They're trying to tell you it's the most excellent, super-ducious, bodacious thing that could ever, like, happen, like, ever. And they're like using all these words, connect them together, don't actually go together. That's kind of what Paul's doing right here. Because if you translate this, it actually translates out to say this, that he can do exceedingly beyond, supernaturally, abundantly more. Apostle Paul, that's what it translates. He can do exceedingly, supernaturally, abundantly more than we could ever think or ask or imagine. Paul was trying to drive home a point, man, that's beyond our comprehension, what God wants to do in you in our life, in my life, in your life. You can't comprehend that. We can't comprehend it. It's immeasurable. We can't measure it. We know that it's incomprehensible. Number three says, because God's power is incomprehensible. You can't compare it to nothing else, number three. You can't compare it to nothing else. It's uncomparable. It's incomparable. You cannot compare it with anything else. Look what Ephesians 1:19 says. That power is like working of his mighty strength, which he has exerted in Jesus Christ when he raised him from the dead. Wow. He's saying this. Paul was trying to give us an illustration. Paul was trying to paint to us an illustration of the power that he's talking about here. As he's teaching about this power that you and I possess through the Holy Spirit, he's like, how can I translate this into words that they can understand? So he translates it. The best power I can tell you is this. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. The power to raise the dead back to life. The same power that raised our Savior back up from the dead. It's the same power that's alive in you. Wow, that's big. It's heavy, isn't it, as we think about it? Wow, it's the same power that God's wanting to operate in my life, in your life. So this having this knowledge of God wants to do great things and use me, it's this big thing to me, knowing this, that God has got a big plan. This using God with all my strength, praising God with all my strength, worshiping, loving him with all my strength, is me realizing that I can do anything. I can do anything through the power of Jesus Christ. Number two, I have to believe this. I have to come confidence in this one thing, that I can do absolutely nothing without the power of Jesus Christ. Notice the two differences. One is I can do anything through him, and the other one now says that I can do nothing without him. And this is a very important concept for us to realize, because I've met a lot of people who have this one of two of these formulas. But it's very few people that you meet who actually have the combination of these two formulas. And let me tell you, this is the combination that we're looking at, because this combination is the combination that brings power and fulfillment in your life. I've met people who believe that, they know what? They can do all things are possible through God. Me and God, we can do anything. And man, they are so sky high. But they never take time to realize it's, well, without God, I can't do anything. I met others who have this same opposite effect. Well, I can't do anything without God. I can't do anything without God. Well, I don't know if I could ever do that without God's help. It's the both. And what we're looking for is the balance of both statements. That I can do all things through God. I can do anything through God's help. But at the same time, I realize I can do nothing without him. It's a spirit of humility. It's a spirit of confidence in the first point. The second point is a spirit of humility. It says, God, it's all, yeah, you've given me strength to do all this, but God, I'm nothing without your strength. God, I'm nothing if you don't empower me. God, I'm nothing if your Holy Spirit's not upon me. God, I'm nothing if you're not leading me. God, I'm nothing if you're not directing me. God, I'm nothing if your anointing's not in my life. God, I can't do anything. God, my marriage is not going to make it without you. God, my children are going to need you. Lord, my family is going to need you. God, my family, it's nothing if you're not there, God. It's the spirit of humility that God is wanting us to walk in. It's all of my strength. And we got to learn to put the right connection together. John 15:5. Jesus said this as he was painting a picture here. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. He was taking a picture talking about the vine and the branches. He was trying to show and teach his disciples that, hey, when the vine is separated, man, it can do nothing. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. That it's in him that we have it. And he gives us a practical way how it works. Colossians 1:29 says this. I love this. It says, to do this, I work and struggle using Christ's great strength that works so powerfully in me. To do this, I work and I struggle using Christ's great strength that works so powerfully in me. And I think this gives us a clear definition. Why don't you go to that next? Do you have that verse, Colossians 1:29? Is that on there? Okay, I must have left that one off there. He's talking about how powerful it is. It says that we must work through this, through him. That we work with God's strength. And see, the bottom line is many times we will not do anything at all. Well, if it's God's will, it'll happen. Isn't it? If it's God's will, it'll happen. I'm not going to do anything over here. I'm just going to sit back and wait. Some of us, that's what we do. We spend our whole spiritual life, man. We just sit back. We're kicked back, aren't we? Dun, 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 dun. I mean, we're just sitting back. We're just cruising, man. If it's God's will, it'll happen. And yes, it's God's will to happen, but God says this, that God works through us using his strength. That God expects you and I to get up and to act on his strength. There's a working of the strength that comes that you and I are to work in God's strength. Not that God's strength is going to happen, everything's going to happen. I just sit back and let it all happen. No, I get up and say, God, I'm going to apply the things that you've given me. God, I'm going to use the gifts you've given me. God, I'm going to do the best of my ability. But knowing this, that if you breathe on my ability, it may just be a little bit of ability, but if I get up, God, and use my working power that I have, which is limited, and combine it with your supernatural, unlimited power, that God, anything can happen. And it will work itself out. But I am not called to sit back and just not do anything. I'm called to get up and do the best that I can. And then I put my faith in God, I'm going to do the best that I can, and then knowing that you will do the rest. And see, there's a difference between just sitting back and taking it easy and applying God's great strength. He says, I do this work, and I struggle. He says, I didn't struggle. I struggle using Christ's great strength that works so powerfully in me. Psalm 73, verse 26 says, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. So what's it saying? It says, I work, and this is what happens. I work, but my flesh, it's going to fail. At some point, my ability is going to run out, okay? I can work as hard as I want. At some point, that's going to run out. But it's God's strength of my heart, see? It's God's strength of my heart and my portion forever. It's God's strength that leads me to strength forever. It's God's strength working in me working. At some point, my ability is going to run out. At some point, my working, I'm not going to have the strength to do it any longer. At some point, I'm going to walk this walk of faith, and I'm going to be like, you know what? I just don't have any more left in my tank to give. But when I've given all I've got, that's when I say, God, his strength comes along and it energizes me to go beyond and to work further than I ever thought I could, to walk further than I ever thought I could, to endure more than I ever thought I could endure, to do things supernaturally through his strength that I didn't think I had in me. I can tell you, there's been times in my life that I had to walk through things that if you'd have told me a week in advance or 2 weeks in advance that I was going to walk through that, I would say, there's no way I could ever walk through that. There's no way I'll ever make it through that. But as I walked through it and I just gave it all I had And when the time when I felt like I didn't have anything else to give, His Holy Spirit came in me and led me and pushed me beyond to go further than I ever thought I could do. I endured things I thought I could never endure. I went through things and handled things I thought I could never handle. But it was God's power alive working in me. You see, and so I know this, that as we learn this thing of God's strength, learn to love Him with all of our strength, it's saying, God, I have a certain amount of strength, and I'm going to give it all to You, but apart from You, it's nothing. But with You, I can do anything. But what a great combination. It's a combination we lose out so much in our Christian walk because we see one or the other. We got the person who doesn't want to be prideful, so they're very humble over here, but they lack the faith. We got the person over here who's got all this faith, but they lack the humility and pride to go along to trigger the faith. And so it's a combination. We've got to have the two together for it to work. It's a two. It's walking in the spirit of humility. God, I am nothing without You. God, I can't do anything without You. But God, with You, I can do anything. With You, all things are possible. With You, man, the sky's the limit. Nothing is going too big for You, God. It's a walk of faith, okay? It's a combination of the two. This is learning to love God with all of my strength. That's why he said, apart from Him, we can do nothing. How many know if you go out there and cut a rose off a rose bush, what's going to happen? It's going to look pretty for a while, but it's going to begin to die, isn't it? You can stick it in the water, and it'll last a little bit longer, but eventually that rose is going to die. Why? Because it's disconnected from the power source that it has, the life source. We can't allow ourselves to be separated. Heading into the summer months, let me tell you this. This is a little side note. Mark this on your side note. As we head into the summer months, it's very easy to get disconnected. It's very easy to be traveling around. When you take vacation, I say take a vacation. Go have fun. Enjoy your family. But, man, get back and get back plugged into church and make sure that you don't get too far away. Don't miss too much because it's important we stay connected together. Because you get disconnected from the body, you're going to lose the power source that God has for you. Just a little side note there, okay? Stay connected. And we see this happening. Number three, we got to understand how my weaknesses become God's strength. We got to understand this. And when it comes to worshiping God with all of our strength, we must understand how my weaknesses become God's strength. And as I studied this, I began to think about what was really being said here. Studying the scripture, and as I think about when it says we are weak and He is strong, and I think about these things, the weaknesses, what does this really mean? And when I say weaknesses, I'm not talking about a sin weakness. I'm talking about a physical weakness. I'm talking about a limitation that we have, weaknesses, things that we're just not good at, things that we struggle with, circumstance, intellect, things that we're limited in. Maybe we've been hurt, or maybe things have happened to hurt us and set us back. Maybe we had things happen to us that really became a thorn in our flesh over our lifetime. Maybe we've been disappointed really bad in our life. Maybe something's happened to you that was so unfair, and it became a weak spot in your life. And as we realize, as we're loving God with all of our strength, that our weakness can become God's strength. So how do we do this? A few truths to help us think through this is, number one, my strength pulls me away. My strength pulls me away from God's strength. What do you mean by that, Pastor? What I mean by this is, if I realize that I'm strong in an area, I will naturally tend to say, God, I don't need Your help here. I got this undercover. I can handle this, God. And so if I'm not careful, my natural strengths will pull me away from depending upon God. Isn't that easy? Don't we do that? That's very much true about us as people, aren't we? Things we're really good at, we're like, all right, God, I got this. You can take a break, God. Time out. You take a break, God. Like God needs a break, you know. God, you take a break. I can handle this one. I got this one. And so my natural strengths, they will, if I'm not careful, will pull me away from God's strength. When I feel like I'm strong, when I feel like I've got it all together, I tend to depend on who? God? No, I depend on myself. When I think I can handle this, I depend on myself, and I tend to pull away from who God is. And so I must realize, number two, my weakness draws me toward God's strength. My weakness draws me toward God's strength. If I realize that, God, I'm weak in some areas, God, I got limitations in certain areas, God, I got things I'm not good at, God, I got things I need help with, Lord, I got things I've been hurt by. I got things that are holding me back. I got things that would look as natural weaknesses in my life. But God, if I know that I must have Your help in these areas, if I know I must depend upon You in these areas, what am I doing? it pulls me to God. That's why so many times in our life, and I preach this, that if we will learn to humble ourselves now, if we'll stay humble, if we'll let go of our pride now and stay in tune with God, what God's saying to us, and get this right formula, we'll save ourselves a lot of headache. Because what God many times has to do is he has to do things to make us come back and depend upon him, to get our attention. Because we get out there doing just fine by ourselves, and we can do our thing out here. God, I'm doing good. Things are happening here. And so I don't need you as strong. And so God will do things it takes to get our attention. And so he'll make you go through something and go, maybe I don't have it all together. Maybe this isn't really the way it should always be. And so things are happening out here that draw me back to God. And so what I'm saying is we got to get the spirit of God. You know what? I need you no matter what. That way I don't have to always go through a painful lesson to draw me back to you. And when we go through crisis, what happens? We run to God. God, I can't make it without you, Lord. Ah. That's a natural part of who we are. And so it's a mature Christian who's learning to love God with all of his strength says, God, yeah, things are going pretty good right now, but it's all because of you. And if I was to remove you from the equation, I would be a mess. God, I wouldn't have it. And so I got to keep God as the center of my strength, and my strength comes from the Lord. Even when I'm strong, it's because he's making me strong. And even when I'm weak, he's going to help me in those areas that I'm weak in. It's a balanced philosophy and theology that we have that comes with knowing this, that God is big enough to do anything in our life. And without him, we can do nothing. And number three, you understand how my weakness becomes God's strength, that my weakness becomes God's strength. And we see this very clearly in Scripture. It talks about Samson. I'm not going to talk about Samson this morning very in depth, but you remember the story about Samson, how God had supernaturally given him all this strength. And at some point in his life, he had gotten so strong and he'd done so many great strengths of acts, you know. Samson, what we're talking about the real strength here. We're talking about, you know, have you seen my beach ball? I think it's over there. We're talking about physical strength here. He became so physically strong that at some point in the line, he forgot where his strength came from. Matter of fact, when he was overtaken by the Philistines, it says that he shook himself and he did not know that the Spirit of God had departed from him. Because he thought he could physically do it all on his own. He thought he physically, you know what, I can handle this. I'm the strongest man in the world. And forgetting that God is the one who made him strong. God was the one who was empowering him to be strong. God was the one who was bringing victory to his life. And so he got to the point where he got such a big head about it, he forgot all that, and he didn't even know the Spirit of God had departed from him. And then we see the reverse of this, and we talk about Gideon. Remember the story of Gideon, how God went to him and said, hey, he's hiding out in the caves, man. He didn't want to be killed. The country's under attack, and the angel of the Lord goes, hey, Gideon! Hey, man, you mighty warrior. And Gideon's like, what? He's back here. You can imagine Gideon with the pitchfork in the back. I mean, he was shaking, man. He was trembling, thinking, who's coming to kill me now? He's hiding out in the cave, man. He's back here. He's just thinking, man, I got to save my life. And God takes Gideon and calls him a mighty warrior. Samson, he departs from. Gideon, he calls him a mighty warrior. And strength-wise, they're total opposites. And he takes Gideon through a process of learning to trust in him and takes Gideon and he says, hey, get all these guys to help you. We're going to defeat this army. And Gideon calls all the men together. He says, that's too many. Send all these guys home. And he sends about half of them home. And he says, all right, take the ones down here, get a drink of water. And one of the ones who lapped the water, I want you to keep. And pretty soon he's down. There's a very few guys left. He sent thousands home and just a few men there that was with him, man, to help overcome this battle. And through this process of time, God was trying to teach him something. Has God ever tried to teach you something in your life? How many have ever said, God, I got a financial burden in my life, and God, I need you. God, you got to do a miracle in my finances. And the next week, things got worse. Ever happen? God, I need you to heal my body. And next week, you get a report. God, hallelujah. And the doctor gives you an even worse report. I mean, sometimes God takes us through, and he even takes us back, and things look even worse than they did when we first started talking to him. Why? Because God is taking us through a process of getting our faith built up. And he can finally get you to the point where God, if you don't do it, it's impossible. God, the doctors can't do nothing. God, my This is a mess. God, if you don't take total control, it's not going to work out. And when you give God total control, it always works out, doesn't it? And God many times will strip away things and stages to get us to that point of giving him total control. That's what happened in Gideon's life. God stripped away all these things out of his life, raised his faith up. He's like, all right, God, this is only this is going to work is if you do a miracle. It's all right, this is what's going to happen, Gideon. He goes, you take these guys, take these torches down there at night, and you put clay pots on them. And when I tell you to, you take a trumpet with you, and I tell you to, at the same time, they're all going to break the pots at the same time and raise up the torches and blow the horns. And they did that at the very darkest of the hour, in the middle of the night, they did this, and all these clay pots broke at the same time. Pow, 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 pow. And they look up, and they see all this fire, and they hear all these horns, which is a charge sound. They're thinking, we are surrounded by thousands and thousands of men. We can hear them. And they get out, and they start attacking each other, and the enemy kills itself. They never haven't even approached the camp. They didn't have to go do anything. They got up, and they were so confused, so scared, they got up and killed themselves thinking they were under attack. And when you look at that, say, that must have been God. There's no other way. That could have happened except for God. And God says, bingo, that's where I want you to be. In our life, when things happen, he wants people to say, that must have been God. That must have been God. The only way that marriage would have worked out is God. The only way their finances would have worked out, that's God. The only way this would have worked out in health, that's God. That's God, because then he gets the glory. And part of this loving God with all my strength is saying, God, I want to be at the place where you get all glory in my life. God, I give you all the strength that I have, but I know without your strength and my strength, God, nothing's going to happen. It's not going to happen unless, God, you anoint me. God, it's not going to happen unless you direct me. God, it's not going to happen unless you breathe on it. God, it's not going to happen unless you direct me. And the same thing is possible, God, but because you're directing me, God, because you're breathing on me, God, because you're supporting me, God, because you're for me, God, because you're filling my life with your Holy Spirit, all things are possible. And great things can happen. And God can use me in a great way. And God can do a miracle in my life. God is wanting to do this. Look at 2 Corinthians 12:9. Bring it up there. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in what? Weakness. See, it's in my weakness that God's power is made perfect. And then Paul goes on to say that, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul says this, God, there's a lot of things here. That's what he's saying. There's a lot of things that are bugging me. I have this weakness, and he prayed, God, remove this weakness. Remove this weakness. And finally, he realized this, but God, you know what? In my weakness, if I'll give it to you, in my weakness, God, you can make me strong. And I boast all the more, saying, you know what? Paul was saying, you know what? I don't have it all together. You may look at me and think I've got it all together. I don't have it all together. And I boast all the more, saying this, that I don't have it all together. But I know the one who does. And my trust is in the one who does. And I may be an educated man. And I may be a high philosopher. And you may know me as this person in here. It was all this person of this and that, of the Sanhedrin. And you may know me as this great prophet now. But I tell you this, I am nothing because I'm weak without the Lord. And I boast in my weakness because in my weakness, he has made me strong. Let's bow our heads. Father, we know today that you are calling us to love you with all of our strength. You're calling us to love you with all of our strength that we have. Lord, this is a very hard thing for us to do at times in our life. Because sometimes as Christians, we'll sway one side or the other. We'll either believe you for everything and then we walk in a spirit of pride, or we walk in a spirit of humility, but we never believe you for anything. And God, you want us to bring together these two areas of our life where we can walk in the power of knowing, God, that we can't do anything without you, but at the same time, we know we can do all things through you. And God, we're praying today that as we learn to love you with all of our strength, it's the knowledge of this coming to life in our life. With every head bowed and every eye closed today, I want to ask you before I go any further today, I want to make sure you have this opportunity. If you're here and say, Pastor Gene, you're talking about loving God. And first of all, I just got to say that in my life, I'm not even where I should be with God today. I want to accept Jesus Christ. I don't want to leave here today unless I, first of all, just ask Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior in my life. I would not embarrass you in any way, but I want to make sure you have that chance today. You say, Pastor, I'm ready today to make Jesus Christ Lord of my life. No one's looking but me, but if you're here today and say, I want to accept Jesus, can you just raise your hand and say, that's me? Raise it high where I can see it. Nobody's looking but me. Say, I'm ready today, Pastor, to make sure heaven's my home. I want to get into right fellowship with Jesus Christ. Anybody here today, I want to give you that chance. Can you raise it high where I can see it? Second question I have for you today is this. As we're talking today about learning to love the Lord with all of our strength, I'm just going to ask you, simply ask you today, if this message today is hitting home with you, say, Pastor, I'm just praying today that God will teach me to love him with all of my strength, that I would learn to depend upon him and realize that all my successes come through him, and that my weakness can become a great strength if I'll give it to God. And now today I want to learn to love God with all of my strength. If God's speaking to you today, can you just raise your hands? That's me. I want to learn to love God. Yeah, several hands all across the building. If God's speaking to you to learn to love God with all your strength, we don't want to skip any part of the equation. It's important that we know that this is a very important part of the great commandment, is loving God with all of our strength. And he's not talking about our physical strength. He's talking about the strength within us. But we give him the power, knowing that everything is possible through him. Nothing is possible without him. And my weakness becomes God's greatest strength in my life. That's learning to love God with all of my strength. I'm going to invite you to stand with me today. As you stand up today, I'm going to pray for you. I believe today that this can become an area of, in your life that you can begin to do better in. All of us can do better in as we learn to love the Lord with all of our strength. So I'm going to pray for you today. So if you feel comfortable doing this, can you just raise your hands one more time today? I'm going to stretch my hands towards you, and I just want to pray today. Father, I just pray as the pastor, Lord, over this congregation, Lord. I pray, the Father, as our hands are lifted up, Lord, that today, that God, you would empower us, Lord, with your strength, with your wisdom, with the power of your Holy Spirit today. God, with every hand lifted up across this room today, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit right now will begin to breathe on lives, Lord, knowing that, God, we are nothing without you. God, we raise our hands as a sign of surrender, saying, God, we want to receive your strength. God, we receive your strength. So I pray as our hands are lifted, God, it's a sign of saying, God, we don't want to walk in our own strength. But it's a sign of saying, God, we want you, Lord, Abba Father, our daddy. God, we want you to carry us in your strength. And God, we want to learn, God, that we can do nothing without you. I pray for the person here today that's been struggling with pride in their life, realizing they got it all together. But God, I pray that that spirit of pride be broken in our life. And God, we realize that there's nothing we can do separate from you that has meaning in our life. That God, is only through you that we see great things happen. But God, we also know this when we put our trust in you and we know that nothing can happen, Lord, without you. We also know this one thing, that God, all things are possible through you. And God, what seems impossible to man and what seems impossible to our natural eyes, that God, you can take our ordinary ability, God, as we give it to you. You can take our ordinary strength as we give it to you. And God, you take your supernatural and you breathe on it, God, by your Holy Spirit. You breathe on that, God, and you make it supernaturally, immeasurable, Lord, uncomprehendable. God, you make it greater than anything we could dream or imagine. But God, it comes as we give it all to you. So I pray today, God, as our hands are lifted today, Father, that your Holy Spirit would come, Lord, teaching us, God, to bring the balance of these two thoughts together, to bring the balance of these two statements together, God, that our trust is fully in you, that apart from you, we can do nothing. And at the same time, God, we know in you, we can do anything. In you, our marriage can be the best it's ever been. In you, my children can have a great relationship with you. In you, God, my finances can be made great. God, in you, God, in you, God, in you, God, my health can be where it needs to be. In you, God, our attitude can change. In you, God, my circumstances will change. In you, God, things can change. Miracles can happen. In you, all things are possible. So, Lord, I learned to take off, Lord, the limitations that I've allowed my mind to keep of you. And God, I know that, God, you're big enough to do anything in my life if I allow you to. God, you can use me in any way if I allow you to. God, you can speak through me any way you want to if I allow you to. And God, today we say, Holy Spirit, use our strength.
Use everything we are today to advance your kingdom. To do miracles, God. You are the miracle working God. And nothing is too big for you today. So may our faith arise in you. May our hearts continue to be humbled as we realize we can do nothing without you. And faith may increase as we realize we can do all things through you, though. And God, we bring the balance of that together. And we walk in your strength today, learning to love you in your strength today. And we say together, amen. 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 God bless you today. Listen to me today before you leave today. Don't forget, they got the taco feed in the back. If you can go back there and stop and donate your money to them, help them out, that'd be great. Those of you who are leaving, we say, God bless you. You have a great day. Don't forget the meeting tonight at 6 o'clock. We need you to be here. If you're involved in any area ministry, you need to be here tonight at 6 o'clock, okay? God bless you.